Well, this music video, slash not just the music video, but this song, my kids and I, we just love this song, my girls especially. We sing this in the car. Sometimes we watch the music video at home. Sometimes we're singing a little out of tune, but with gusto, yeah. I really want to encourage you guys to watch the rest of this music video in your spare time if you want, but it's really cool. It is filled with more testimonies from men who had been imprisoned for various reasons, but mostly surrounding drug addiction and their addictions that led them to commit other crimes. For those who are watching or didn't get to see the video, I'm just gonna recap. So if you missed some of the words here too, well, I'll just share that with you. So one of the gentlemen's name that we just saw, his name is Wesley. And his 10-year heroin addiction led to multiple arrests for possession, theft, and resisting arrest. He lost everything. On his 82nd arrest, he accepted Christ on his 82nd arrest, while in the Union County Jail, two chaplains came to visit him and shared the good news with him. He accepted Christ, and he now has been a little over 6.5 years sober, like he says there. He is an executive director of this organization called Ground 40, which, if you look it up, they help transition men back into the community from homelessness, addiction, and incarceration. So when I first heard this song on the radio, I thought, yeah, it's a little cheesy, but it's good. And when I saw this music video, I was crying. Actually, I almost cried again. Don't know if it's hormones or what, but yes, I was about to cry again. I was moved by their testimonies. If you saw the whole video, it's full. I was moved by their testimonies because I saw brothers in Christ who were lost and were now found. Second, the faithful chaplains who visited Wesley were exactly that. They were faithful. Third, this has got me thinking about the verse of 36 today of chapter 25. And it says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This last part where it says, I was in prison and you came to me, this has honestly been rolling through my head the last few weeks. See, God is having to do a retraining in me. How I view those who have been imprisoned. Growing up, the idea was that if someone was in prison, they were bad. And they did bad things, and that was it. We don't talk about them. Really, I think the way our society operates is that we forget about them. Let them be there, and then they don't have to disrupt my life. I can be safe. Now, I was recently sharing this with my mother-in-law, Janet, and she told me that her dad, Marvin, used to go visit their cousin in prison frequently. So Marvin Lehman and Luanna Lehman are my husband's grandparents, just in case you don't know. Marvin since has passed. Luanna's still kicking. But they were one of the first couples married in this church, not this building, but in our congregation, which is really such a testament about unity, right? But when I heard about Marvin, from all the stories I've actually heard about Marvin from anybody in our church, what I've heard about him is that he loved God deeply and he truly wanted to embody and magnify God through his life. Now, to roll back, this cousin he was visiting, did he ever change? I'm not sure. That really isn't the point. Marvin didn't forget about him. This man who loved Jesus took time out of his day to go sit and be with his nephew. Now, I don't know the conversations they even had, but this act is a real testament of the character of God dwelling in Marvin. This tells me and even teaches me that his nephew wasn't any less worthy than he. He didn't value him any less. He saw him as his equal. I am grateful to have even gotten a moment to meet Marvin. I got him it was like a hello. But even more so, know that his example of Christ living within him is still able to teach us today. I share this story because we are human beings. We fall and we fail many times. We have and continue to be shaped by our circumstances and our choices in life. We make decisions either based on wisdom we have gained, or sometimes we haven't gained it yet. But what is the truth? God meets us in our failures too. Not just about how successful we are, about getting it right. No. So it is so important to know that God is with us. Because like the sheep in Matthew 25, we can see that they had three characteristics, okay guys? Humility, hope, transformation. Sorry, I'm a little hot. Sorry. I mean, anyway. So we see these characteristics as this is a formation in Christ. These are characteristics that are vital in our formation of Christ. We need to have humility. We need to have hope. And we need to allow God to transform us. When we know that, we know he's with us. So we can look up humility. We see in their response to God in Matthew 25, 37 through 40. And it says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You see, the sheep, they didn't do it because they might achieve something with the Lord. At least that is what I interpret. Sure, the sheep longed to please the Lord, but they didn't realize how much of like a direct contact they were going to have with the Lord by serving the least of these. So just like Marvin, it is recognizing that my neighbor's or stranger's or even an offender's life is worthy to be remembered and not forgotten. See, with Marvin, I believe he discovered something and he understood something, that he was the least of these too. So here it is. We are no greater than one another. We know that God is with us. When we know that God is with us, there is no room for us to boast about our own greatness. We offer forgiveness and love where it doesn't make sense to the rest. There is really no room for us to be proud. Quickly, we can make it about me, myself, and I. So my answer to that is, let's don't. So again, our service we do is not in anticipation that we will receive recognition from anyone. We love those because we see them. We're saying, we see you. We meet them just as God meets us every day. We say, there, he is with you. He is with me. I'm not any more special than you for him to meet me. So he is going to be with you. So I think that gives us a glimpse of like that second characteristic of hope. This is what we're doing. As we are having humility, we are able to even give out that hope. It's important to know that God is with us because it establishes a foundation of hope, not just for you and me, but for those around us. We anticipate that he will return, and we live as if it is our last, which is in our surrendering our motives and serving those around us. So let us be transformed. In transformation, God with us molds our identities and our values in him and not of this world. It's distinguishable. It leads us to bear his image, and it doesn't become about that checking off a box or trying to earn our way to God. So if we know it's important that God is with us, what's going to happen when God is with his people? We can see two things: restoration and oneness. So the definition for restore is to bring back. When we recognize that God is with us, this is what he does with us. He is not a far-off God who wants nothing to do with his creation. It is the exact opposite. He wants to be as close to you, and he desires that from us. And the best part, we don't have to go to a specific building or place or do certain rituals. He says he is with us, not just with us to make us feel good inside, but he is with us when we remember the ignored, and the forgotten of our society. His people start looking and acting differently, actually caring, not because of a duty, but because we have been treated this way by our God, and it is to be extended out to those who aren't too proud to receive him. So we can see there is this shift. It becomes about us and not just about me. In this world, it is easy to become so divided on many different topics and viewpoints and even social statuses. But what are God's norms? God's norms are there is no division between those who love him and know him. There is no longer disunity. So what happens when God is with his people? Well, we have harmony and, as I'm going to call it, a deep pool of love that we get to experience, not only as receivers, but as givers, and not only as hearers of his word, but as doers of his word. So our challenge is today, how can we live as we know that God is with us every day, every moment? How do we do this? Do we go around saying, Jesus, 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 every 5 seconds? Or 1 second? No. But there are many ways that God is calling us to be the sheep who serve and not the goats who ignore. You know, what I hear in Matthew 25 about the sheep, that these sheep weren't just sitting around eating grass and letting their master just shepherd them, take care of them. Yeah, he was taking care of them. But they understood that they also had a task to do as well. They were invited to be a part of his family. So this is what we should do. I'll throw some out. Okay? First, we're going to just continue to believe him and believe in his word. Trust his words and his warnings, because that's what there is. It's hey, look, here I am. But there's a warning at the end, too. But trust and faith, I know, is such a hard one for all of us human beings. It requires to have a daily conversation with God. And depending on the season, those conversations can be easy or hard. So just like a best friend that you talk to all the time, you spend time with, you know them. Let's say you go in the grocery store, you know them from far off because no matter what sweatpants or whatever they're wearing, you know that's your friend, you recognize him, right? So that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to know him that well. We need to spend time with him as he does with us. These services will not be, I'm saying services, it's just an act of love, really, guys, will not be something we have to make ourselves care about. It will happen naturally when we believe that God is with us. So let's practice placing our faith that God is with us. Let's practice placing our faith in him. Then I think even like the worries of the world, like we'll understand more so of Matthew chapter 6. I love Matthew chapter 6 completely. But verse 25 through 26 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" God is with us, and if you need to hear that word of encouragement today, let your ears hear it. Open your hearts to receive it. I want to, just with the final story, I want to share one of like our sister Judy's story. She had shared this with Curtis, and so I got secondhand information. But it's a beautiful story, and I cried again immediately when I heard it. But our sister Judy, she had been struggling with going to bed at a reasonable hour. During our time in small group, we've been going over confession. And so this is one of the questions that was brought up during one of those small group times. And she just realized one of the reasons she resists going to bed is that she misses her husband. And she doesn't like to go to bed alone. Okay. But one night she heard God tell her, you are not alone. I am with you. How beautiful and encouraging God is. God is with us and he cares. He cares even about our bedtime. He cares because there's more to it than just the simple act of going to sleep. So if you feel lonely, if you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, if you're anxious about what's going to happen in the next day, to know that God is with us and he so desires to take care of you. So I'm just going to close us with a prayer. God, I thank you so much for your presence, for your word. I thank you for how you just, thank you for Matthew and how you used him to be able to really share with us how you were with us in many, many ways. You don't want us to miss how you were with us. God, you are all powerful. You are a good God. And how it says your goodness is running after me. You are the goodness, Lord. You are running after us and you desire us. So I pray, Lord, we place all of our cares and our burdens into your hands. We ask you to increase our trust and our faith in you where we lack. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to depend on you. I pray, Lord, that we would also extend that hand to those around us, Lord. Thank you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.